welcome to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. Your host for WGOD Radio is Bible teacher and translator Pastor Paul Esposito, senior pastor of Island Community Church, located in Merritt Island, Florida. And now here with today's program is Pastor Paul.
I love to see weak make strong.
Welcome back once again to WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time. This is your host and speaker. I'm Pastor Paul Esposito, the senior pastor here at Island Community Church. Thanks for joining us here today, friends. Happy Thursday to you. Thank you for taking 30 minutes of your Thursday to join me as we together study the Word of Almighty God. We're still in this sermon here. I thought we would have wrapped it up Wednesday, but it was almost an hour long, so we split it up into three parts, so you'll hear the end of that now. It's a sermon that I just preached this past Sunday at Island Community Church. Now, Island is at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. We meet Sunday mornings at 10:30 or 10:35 if you want to be exact. Wednesday nights at 6, midweek Bible study. God's doing an awesome work in our church, and I invite you to come by and worship with us. Take a part of the service. I promise you, you're going to hear the Word of God undiluted, and I promise you that these wonderful people here at this church will warmly welcome you here, as you'll feel right at home here at Island. So I invite you to one of our services. For more info, you can write to me. My email address is paul@wgodradio.com. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Our website is so much info on our website. Every sermon I've preached in the last 10 years and things going on here at the church, that's islandcommunitychurch.net. Probably the most important thing on our website is our statement of faith, so that you'll know what I believe and teach here as the pastor here at this church. Very important to know what the church believes, what the pastor believes and teaches. So, okay, that's where we're at. That's what's going on. Thursday, let's wrap up this program now. We're looking at Moses. This weekend, we'll be looking, my sermon is entitled, Moses Walks to His Own Funeral. I love that saying by Adrian Rogers. I thought it'd be a great title for the sermon, as Moses was not ready to die. The Bible says that he still had his vigor and his eye was unabated. He saw he was healthy and strong. But he did something that caused God to, well, let's get into that. Well, we'll get into that. You can hear that this weekend at Island Community Church, and you'll hear it on the radio here next week. We'll find out what in tarnation happened to Moses. How did he end up not being able to enter into the promised land? So in the meantime, we're looking at the 10 plagues of Egypt. Let's wrap up that message now.
See that? In order that you may know that I am the Lord is the reason why there was no flies there. Verse 23, I will make a difference between my people and your people. Tomorrow this sign shall be. Verse 24, and the Lord did so. Thick swarms of flies came into the house of Pharaoh, into his servants' houses, and into all the land of Egypt. The land was corrupted because of the swarms of flies. Then Pharaoh called for Moses and Aaron and said, get out of here. I bet. He said, go sacrifice to your God in the land. This fourth plague begins the second cycle of three judgments. Like the first three plagues, these three were restricted to the Egyptians. This shows that God made a distinction between the Israelites and the Egyptians, marking his people for deliverance and marking others for judgment. That's what he does, right? That's what he's going to do again. Marking us for deliverance, marking others for judgment. Very prophetic. Just like it's going to be at the end of the age. God's going to mark. He's going to have his own people marked. The 144,000 Jews will be marked. And everyone else will have the mark of the beast. marking his people for deliverance. All right, number five, the livestock disease, chapter 9, verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, go into Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go, that they may serve me. For if you refuse to let them go and you still hold them, behold, the hand of the Lord will be on your cattle in the field, on your horses, on your donkeys, on your camels, on your oxen, and on the sheep. A very severe pestilence. And the Lord will make a difference between the livestock of Israel and the livestock of Egypt. So nothing will die of all that belongs to the children of Israel. Then the Lord appointed a set time, saying, tomorrow the Lord will do this thing in the land. So the Lord did this on the next day, and all the livestock of Israel, of Egypt, died. But of the livestock of the children of Israel, not one died. Wow. Even the cows escaped the coming judgment of God. How would CNN explain that? A pestilence comes and takes out all the unbelievers. And all the people of God over here, nothing happens to them. Interesting, huh? And yet, a fact. And what he's done before, he will do it again. If you find yourself alive in this world here during the tribulation, rest assured that God is going to treat you the same way as he treated these Jews here. And he'll protect everyone, all the children of God that are around during that time. I don't know who it's the great mystery. No one knows. But this I know, and that is God's got your back. If you are here for it, God will have your back. Because that's what he does. He looks out for his own. Like any good father would. Got to move on. But again, we see the conscience seared with a hot iron here. It says, the heart of Pharaoh became hard, and he did not let the people go. See, he doesn't care anymore now. It's a progression to get to this place. Number one, you're indifferent to the things of God. Number two, you're full of personal pride and you can't admit that this is your fault, that you made the mistake. And number three, you ignore your conscience pleading with you. That's how you get to this place. It's a progression. Number six, boils. Chapter 9, verse 8. So the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, take for yourself handfuls of ashes from a furnace and let Moses, picture this as I'm reading this. Take handfuls of ashes out of a furnace and let Moses scatter it toward the heavens in the sight of Pharaoh. And it'll become fine dust in all the land of Egypt. And it'll cause boils that break out in sores on man and beast throughout all the land of Egypt. Again, that's another. These are like all bowl judgments in the end of the age. The bowl judgments are. The first bowl judgment is sore, grievous sores on everyone. The second one is the sea turns to blood. The waters turn to blood. Men scorched. Number five, darkness and pain. The Euphrates River dries up. And a great earthquake. These are like the same as. What's happened before is going to happen again. Okay, verse 11. The magicians could not stand before Moses because of the boils, because the boils were on the magicians and all of the Egyptians. All right, so like the third and ninth plagues, this one was not announced to Pharaoh. This plague, the first to endanger human life, resulted in festering boils on the bodies of men and animals. Moses' tossing of soot from a furnace may have been a symbolic act, like his and Aaron's use of the staff in several plagues. The Egyptians, fearfully aware of epidemics, they worshipped Sekhmet, a lion-headed goddess that had alleged power over disease, Sunu, the pestilence god, and Isis, the goddess of healing. Yet these deities could not deliver the people or the animal from their torments. The magicians of Egypt were helpless because they were similarly afflicted, and they found that their own deities were powerless to help them, naturally. And now this time, God himself hardens Pharaoh's heart. Verse 12, the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, and he did not heed them, as the Lord had spoken to Moses. Now, when this happens to you, and God himself does the hardening, that's all she wrote. It's all over. Once God hardens your heart and flicks the switch, so to speak, it's all over. And yet, the Bible says that God is long-suffering, not willing that any of us should perish, but all would come to repentance. He doesn't want to do this. But if you continually say no to God, this is what happens. There comes a time when enough is enough. Number 7, hail. Verse 13, then the Lord said to Moses, rise up early in the morning and stand before Pharaoh and say to him, thus says the Lord God of the Hebrews, let my people go. You know, thank God we don't have 3 services in here. I'd be having readers in here coming up for the next one. How many chapters have I read up here, I think, today? Let my people go that they may serve me. For at this time I will send all my plagues to your very heart and on your servants and on your people so that you may know there is none like me in all the earth. Now, if I had stretched out my hand and struck you and your people with pestilence, then you would have been cut off from the earth. But indeed, this is God speaking to Pharaoh, for this purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you and that my name may be declared in all the earth. God rules. Bow the knee to him. He does as he chooses. This is his world. As yet, you exalt yourself against my people, this is verse 17, and that you will not let the people go. Behold, tomorrow at the same time, I will cause a very heavy hail to rain down, such as not been in Egypt since its founding until now. Now this judgment commences the third cycle of plagues. These 3 plagues, 7, 8, and 9, are more severe than the previous ones, and are described in more detail. The 7th plague results in great economic duress. Clearly, the abilities of several Egyptian gods were again being challenged. Nut, the sky goddess, I thought that'd be the pistachio god. Nut, the sky goddess, was not able to forestall the storm. Osiris, the god of crop fertility, could not maintain the crops in the hailstorm, nor could Set, the storm god, hold back this storm. Verse 22, then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward heaven, that there may be hail in all the land, on man, beast, and every herb, or I should say every herb, every herb of the field, throughout all the land. Any herbs around here? Moses stretched out his rod toward heaven. The Lord sent thunder and hail, and fire darted to the ground. The Lord rained hail on the land of Egypt. So there was hail and fire mingled with hail, so very heavy there was none like it in all the land of Egypt, since it became a nation. And the hail struck throughout the whole land of Egypt, all that was in the field, both man and beast. And the hail struck every herb of the field and broke every tree of the field. Only in the land of Goshen, where the children of Israel were, there was no hail. Wow. And yet I love what God said to Job. Remember, if you read the book of Job, chapter 38, God says, have you seen the storeroom of hail that I have up here in heaven? He says, walk past the broom closet, and in the next door on the left, the storeroom, he says, of hail, which is waiting this day. God has a storeroom full of hail. I was only kidding. It's not next to the broom closet. Waiting for this day. Waiting. It's there as we speak today. Because that's going to come again here in the book of Revelation, verse 21. Right after the last bowl, we see this plague of hail that falls upon the earth, where each piece of hail weighs a talent. A talent is 75 pounds. Can you imagine a 75-pound block of ice falling on your forehead? Well, for dropping it off the Empire State Building was bad. Imagine it coming from heaven. 75-pound block of ice. That's the judgment that's going to fall on people that reject Jesus Christ in this world. That's why he says to you today, if you hear my voice, don't do what Pharaoh did. Don't say, oh, I don't give a rip about you, God. I'm going to run my own life. I don't care. Today, if you hear his voice, stop running. Call on the name of the Lord. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord. All who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, and he will exalt you. That's just admitting, I'm a savior. I can't do this on my own. I'm a sinner. I need help. I can't do this life on my own. I acknowledge you as Almighty God, and I just kneel down before you. That's all the things that Pharaoh wanted. That's all you got to do. He did all the work. He died in your place. We're going to acknowledge that here in a couple of minutes. Locusts. Moses and Aaron came into Pharaoh and said to him, thus says the Lord, how long will you refuse to humble yourself? That's the question. How long? Let my people go so that they may serve me. Notice the next two words, if you guys are following. Or else. Like the game we used to play as kids. Yeah. Let my people go or else. If you refuse to let my people go, behold, tomorrow I'm going to bring locusts around here. And they will cover the face of the earth, so that no one will be able to see the earth, and they will eat the residue, or what's left of what remains from the hail, and they'll eat every tree which grows up for you out of the field. They will fill your houses, the houses of your servants, the houses of all the Egyptians, which neither your fathers nor your fathers' fathers have seen since the day they were on the earth. And he turned and went out from Pharaoh. All right, now verse 20 tells us once again, the Lord hardened Pharaoh's heart. Darkness, number 9, chapter 10, verse 21. Darkness. Then the Lord said to Moses, stretch out your hand towards heaven, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt. Then he says this, darkness which may even be felt. So Moses stretched out his hand toward heaven, and there was thick darkness over all the land of Egypt for 3 days. Have you ever felt darkness before? Maybe being in a cave on vacation. You've been in one of those caves where it's so dark that you can't even see your own hand right in front of you. Maybe even spiritual darkness. darkness that can be felt. What a terrible thing. Reminds me of Matthew 22:12, where Jesus said to cast the unprofitable servant into where? Outer darkness, where there'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth. That's the ninth plague. Verse 23, it says, they did not see one another, nor did anyone rise from his place for 3 days. But check out the rest of verse 23. It starts with the word but. But all the children of Israel had light in their dwellings. I can't imagine what is meant by a darkness that can be felt. Maybe just extreme grief or extreme aloneness. You know, these people are so deceived. You know, oh, I'm going to go up there with that great big rock band in the sky, up there with Jimi Hendrix and Janis Joplin. Oh, no, you're not. Hell is a place of extreme darkness. You're not going to party with Jimi Hendrix. You're not going to be able to see your hand in front of you. It's outer darkness, just like this plague, except it ain't going to last 3 days. Going to last a lot longer than that. But Jesus said that hell was not created for you. Hell was created for Satan and his angels. The Bible says of Christ, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we now stand. God's given you a free ticket out of hell. It says admit one on it. So you guys can't get them for your family. Your husband can't. He can't get them. It says admit four. You can't buy one. You got to have your own ticket to get in. Admit one. All you got to do is call on the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, I am the door. All who enter in by me shall be saved. This is not your lot if you call on the name of the Lord. Okay. Lastly, the tenth and final plague, the death of all the firstborn. Chapter 11, verse 4. Then Moses said, thus says the Lord, about midnight I will go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sits on the throne, even to the firstborn of the female servant behind the handmill, and all the firstborn animals. Then there will be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as was not like it before, nor shall it be again. But against none of the children of Israel shall a dog move its tongue, against man nor beast, so that you may know that the Lord makes a difference between Egypt and Israel. Now, this time, God has a different means for the delivering of his people. Verse 3. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of the month. Now, remember here, God changed the months, made Nisan the first month of the year, and that is March and April. On the 10th day of the month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for his household, for a household. And if the household is too small for a lamb, then let him and his neighbor next to his house take it according to the number of persons. According to each man's need, you shall make your count for the lamb. Your lamb should be without blemish, a male in his first year. You must take it from the sheep or from the goats. Now you shall keep it until the 14th day of the same month. Then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. And they will take some of the blood and put it on the two doorposts and on the lintel of the houses where they eat it. All right, so God's plan for his people to escape the coming judgment was to take a lamb with no blemish and no spot, and then kill it at twilight, and then take its blood and put it on the door frame on the outside of their houses. Then God said this, verse 12. I will pass through. Now he's getting involved in this personally. I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night. And I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods of Egypt, I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. Now the blood will be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over it. And the plague will not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. So God says, when I see the blood, I'll pass over you. The great Bible translator, William Tyndale, he invented this word. He had the Hebrew word, the word Pascha. And he took that phrase and he invented the word in English, Passover. That's where this word came from. I will pass over you. So on Passover, the Jews sacrificed the lamb and were delivered from death by the blood of the Lamb. Verse 29. And it came to pass at midnight, the Lord struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, from the firstborn of Pharaoh who sat on the throne to the firstborn of the captive who was in the dungeon, and all of the firstborn of the livestock. So Pharaoh rose up in the night, he and his servants, and all the Egyptians. There was a great cry in Egypt. There was not a house in which there was not one dead. Now one day, John the Baptist saw Jesus walking by him, walking down the street. And John the Baptist said, "Behold, it's the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world." For on that very same day, Passover, 1,500 years later, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, became our Passover lamb and shed his blood on the cross so that he could deliver us as well. Back then, they killed a lamb, put his blood on the doors. Here, they killed our lamb. And by receiving him, his blood, the Bible says, in whom we have redemption through his blood. Hallelujah. The forgiveness of sins. Have you received him yet? Jesus is the Passover lamb. But instead of passing over your sins, his blood obliterates them. So much so that God says, your sins and your lawless deeds, I will remember no more. We've arrived, guys.
You have been listening to WGOD Radio, the radio ministry of Island Community Church. You are cordially invited to attend one of our services at Island. We meet Wednesday evening at 6 p.m. for Bible study and Sunday mornings for service at 10:30 a.m. Island Community Church is located at 1000 North Banana River Drive in Merritt Island. The church's email is islandcc1000@gmail.com. Join us again next time for WGOD Radio, all truth, all the time.
I see the joy of the dancers and all the healing they bring.